We have a quick video, one more video that I want to share with you, and then we will open the scriptures together.
Independence has never been easy. Nearly 250 years ago, it was something worth fighting for. The idea of a people who stood on equal footing, free to speak, free to wander, free to live. These were ideals worth risking everything for. Today, we find ourselves fighting old battles. Not with past foes, but with ourselves. We are a nation divided. Divided by skin. Divided by opinion. Divided by hate. It seems the very freedoms we once fought for have become stumbling blocks. Are we too busy seeking ourselves to even recognize the tragedy which surrounds us? Do we no longer see the profound need for the hand of God? In this moment, the truth of Scripture rings especially true. If we, the people, will humbly pray, turn from wickedness and seek His face, then He will hear us. He will forgive us, and He will heal this land. Today, may we remember this one simple truth. True independence is found only in our dependence on God.
Thing that little video struck me with, it's the idea that God is calling us to something more. As a nation, as a church, as individuals, I think for far too long we've settled for good enough. And that's not who we're called to be. We are called to be the people, sons and daughters of God. Danny reminded us earlier today in life class that we are called to be ambassadors for Christ. We are called to be more than just church attenders, or more than just Sunday school teachers, or more than just pastors. God is calling us personally to a life of sacrifice, to a life that serves others and not ourselves. And one of the things that we see here as we close out 2 Corinthians is that there is a call from the Apostle Paul to this church to do something more than just say, gosh, I feel really bad for you. Or, man, I'm really upset that happened to you. Or, you know, fill in the blank. And as we're jumping in here, I got to be honest with you that the subject matter today, I'm always excited to preach. I'm always excited to have the opportunity to speak to you or to anyone else who will listen, which isn't a lot of people, but about God's Word. But the subject matter that God has given me to share with you today is not my favorite. I'm just going to say that right now. Because today, we are going to be talking about giving. Now, before you jump up and run off and say, well, yeah, that pastor, he's just like all the rest of them. He just wants my money. I want to say that what I have to say about this topic might be a little bit different than what you have heard in the past from some of my colleagues on this topic. And so if that's piqued your interest a little bit, then I've done my job well. But let's begin today by talking about what we read today. Now, for those of you who don't know, we have been reading through the entire Bible we're in year four of a four-year task. We've read through the entire Old Testament in the last 3 years, and this year we're tackling the New Testament. We're finishing up Galatians, and as I'm looking at the schedule, we're going to have about four more series and then a wrap-up, which will take us through to about Thanksgiving. Okay? We're going to have 6 weeks on Paul's general letters, which is Galatians through Thessalonians. And then we're going to talk about the pastoral epistles, which are Timothy, Titus, and Philemon. Then we're going to tackle Hebrews, James, the two Peters, and the three Johns, and Jude together in one series. And then we finish with a series on Revelation. And so please don't expect much from that last series, just saying. We'll cover kind of the highlights of the book, but ultimately we're going to we are all going to read through it together and be learning some more things. But here's what we read this week. Paul began in chapter 8 talking about the need for and the administration of generosity. In chapter 8, he explains that there is a need, that there were some folks who have given to that need, and now he is calling on the Corinthian church to also give to that need. And he also then tells them why they need to give to that need. And so that's the first two chapters. In chapter 10, Paul takes some time to defend his ministry against people who have been telling or spreading among the Corinthians that Paul isn't really an apostle, that he's not, he doesn't have the credentials, and he defends that ministry. Then in first part of chapter 11, Paul talks to the church about dealing with false apostles who have come into the church. And then in the last part of chapter 11, Paul details some of the sufferings that he has been facing. Then in chapter 12, the first part, Paul talks about God's sufficiency and how he had been suffering with his thorn in the flesh. And God says, and we have that great verse that many of us have already memorized, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And then in the last part of chapter 12, and this is really beautiful, that Paul talks about the worries that he has about the church in Corinth. He talks about some of the cares and some of the concerns of things that he's heard, and he wants to come, and he talks about his plans about coming and meeting with them and finding out if these things are true and then dealing with them. And then, well, in chapter 13, Paul, the first part, gives some warnings to the church, and then he concludes with his final greetings. So that's what we read. But today we're going to talk about giving, okay? We're going to talk about the idea that giving consists of two separate ideas, biblically speaking. Giving consists of the tithe and the gift or the offering. The first of these, the tithe, is it's an Old Testament concept, and it's the idea of giving that 10% of everything you have, and it's devoted to God and or the church. Now, when I say Old Testament concept, I'm not saying that tithing has been thrown out. Please don't misunderstand me. We in the New Testament church still tithe, and Jesus even in a roundabout way, not directly, but he stated that tithing was still a vital part of the life of a Christ follower. In fact, we see tithing first mentioned in Genesis when Abraham was coming back from plundering his enemies who had captured Lot and his family. And when he plundered them, he was coming back and Melchizedek shows up. And Abraham gives Melchizedek 10% of everything that he had plundered. So 10% of the gold, 10% of the cattle, 10% of the servants, whatever he took off in plunder, 10% of it was given to Melchizedek. In the New Testament, Jesus mentions tithing three times. And every time he mentions tithing, he is mentioning it in a response to Pharisaical hypocrisy. It means the Pharisees are saying to do one thing, but then not doing what they, practicing what they preach. We also see tithing mentioned in the book of Hebrews, but again, that's in reference to Abraham and Melchizedek again. Now, when Jesus says about the Pharisees, he says, you Pharisees, you're hypocrites because you tithe your spices and everything else, but then you neglect the more important matters of the law. And so Jesus isn't condemning tithing. He's condemning the fact that if all your tithing is a certain thing, then what use is it? That's the idea Jesus is getting. He's not saying that tithing is wrong. I think if we were to sit down with Jesus and ask him about tithing, he'd say, yes, I think everybody should tithe. I think everybody should tithe too. But the New Testament concept is on giving or the offering. Now, let me say right here before we get into the context, as I just stated earlier, that I believe in tithing, and I believe that that is the place for God's people to start. But I don't think that giving should end with a tithe. In fact, the context of the passage that we're about to read, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier, is Paul encouraging the Corinthian church to contribute to an offering that was being taken for people in Jerusalem who were suffering under the persecution of the Jewish establishment. The gift was given as an act of worship to God. And so Paul then says this in 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 11, which is our scripture reading for today. So please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word as we do this together. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 11. Let's read together. Remember this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to partner with you in the supernatural work of your kingdom. Lord, thank you for what you are teaching us in this passage of scripture that we've just read. And Lord, as I attempt to try and explain it, I pray that the words of my mouth would be yours and not mine. And I pray that each of us would hear it, that we would respond to it, and that we would be changed because we have heard it. We love you, Lord Jesus, and thank you for all that you are doing here this morning and what you will be doing throughout the rest of this week, the rest of this month, and the rest of our lives as we put these things into practice. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we begin this morning by looking at this passage, all right? And in verse 6, Paul shares with us the principle, or the law, if you will, of sowing and reaping. He says, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. What does that mean? It simply means that what we give will be returned. The idea of sowing and reaping is an agricultural term, right? That whatever seed you put in the ground, that is what will come up. Now, here is here is the interesting thing about giving, about offerings, about sharing over and above that 10%. I believe that tithing, that when we tithe, that's what we're supposed to do. I believe God blesses us for being obedient to that 10%. But I think where the real blessing begins is when we start going over and above that 10%. What we give, whether it's money, whether it's attention, whether it's forgiveness, or whether it's other resources like food or time or even love, these are the things that God has given us so that we might give to others. And you might say, well, hold on a second. How do I give time? It's not like I can give somebody, you know, an hour so that they have another hour to get things done. No, true. But you can choose to sacrifice an hour of your day to help someone else. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to... Well, let me back up here a second. So the things that we give, what we give is important. When we're talking about giving, not tithing, but giving, right? Okay, so that what we give is important, but what we receive might look, and this is how it differs a little bit from the agricultural model, that the blessing that we receive in return, what we reap, might not always be that which we sow. For example, if I were to give a gift to someone in need of $20, it doesn't necessarily mean that God is now bound to give me an extra $20 somehow, some way. Or more, with interest. Just kidding. But what God promises to give us when we give, whether it's money or time or love or whatever, He promises to give us blessing. And we're going to talk more about that a little later. But it is absolutely important that we grasp this idea that what we give doesn't necessarily equal what we will receive. Okay? So why does it matter, this law of sowing and reaping? Why does it matter that we give over and above? Why does that matter? Well, it matters because God gives. John 3:16, you remember that verse? Most of us do. God loved the world so much that He did what? He set apart 10% and he gave it to us, right? No, not 10%. He didn't tithe. He gave, and He gave over and above. He gave 100%, right? He gave His Son, and He sacrificed everything so that that's what we have. We can have that. And so when we read in the Bible that whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, whoever sows generously will reap generously, we understand that that is the heart of God, because He gives and He loves to give. And He gives. How does God give? Well, He gives cheerfully. And so we should too. The next verse, verse 7, says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now I want to talk about that word cheerful, because the original Greek word translated is hilarious. And this is something that, you know, God is... Let's consider God as a hilarious giver. Or is it Anne? I don't know. But God hilariously giving of Himself to you and I. For what purpose? So that we might have eternal life. So that we might have our sins forgiven. So that we might have a relationship with Him. So that we might be His ambassadors, His reconcilers, His voice His boots on the ground, if you will. That's what we have become. Because God gave hilariously. When we give, it should not be out of duty. It should not be a chore that we have to do. This is what Paul is saying, right? Each one of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. So the person who gives like this, okay, that's not what God wants. That's not the idea. The idea is that God wants us to give, that giving of ourselves, regardless of the resource, that when we give, it makes us giddy. Right? That we giggle, and you're like, watch this one, I thought, yeah, this is awesome. You know, that kind of, I know I'm being stupid and silly, but God desires for us to be hilarious givers. It should bring us joy when we give. Because we realize that what we are doing is we're not giving to help God out because He's got all the money in the world. It's just that His money is in your pocket.
Yeah, amen.
And so His money is in your pocket. And so when we give, it should bring us joy because we are actually accomplishing what God wants to accomplish in this world when we give. When we see the results of our giving, when we see a family who's no longer hungry because we have given, when we see young boys and girls in other parts of the country or other parts of the world who are receiving food and education because of the money that our church is giving, that should bring us joy. When our missionaries come and tell us about the things or the opportunities that they have or the things that they've done or the people that they've reached out to, it should bring us joy. That's why giving of our tithes is one thing, but giving an offering is something totally different. See, we give the 10% because that's what we're commanded to do. That is out of duty. But when we give over and above, that is when the true blessings begin to come. And cheerful giving, this is the heart of God. We give because when we do, we are reflecting God to the people that we give to. And so we need to be like Him. So we sow and reap. We cheerfully give. And then we receive abundant blessing. Look at what Paul says here next. He says, God, listen, this is great. Look, God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, that's God, will also increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness, and you will be enriched in every way. I'm going to stop there for a second. The blessing that comes from giving, it's not just what we give. It's not just what we give. Sometimes it is what we give and we receive that back, and that's wonderful when that happens. But it's not just what we give. Most of the time, this has been my experience, maybe it's been yours too, but most of the time, the blessing that I receive when I give is not like the blessing that I gave. Sometimes I will give to someone X. I can't even think of an example right now. Sometimes I will give that. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's food. Whatever it is. But I give that. Most of the time, what comes back to me is not the money or the food. Most of the time, what comes back to me is peace or joy or satisfaction or the sense that God is pleased. To me, and I hope it is to you, that is more of a blessing than receiving money. I might give money to a ministry here in the area. I might give money to that ministry. I might never see anything directly back for that. But you know what I do see? I see people coming to know Jesus as their Savior. I can get excited about that. I can get cheerful about that. I can get hilarious about that. But it's not just what we give, but it's even more of a spiritual blessing. There is blessing that comes. Even as far back, if you remember this far back, because it's like 3 years ago, when we were reading through Deuteronomy and Leviticus, and even in parts of Exodus, God told the Israelites that when you obey me, there will be great blessing. When you follow what I have told you to do, there will be extreme blessing. Your crops will always produce. Your vines will always bear new wine. You will have many children, and their children, and your children will have children, and their children will have children, and you will never be separated from your land. And I promise all of these things that God promised them if they chose to obey. When we choose to obey God in this area of giving, it is not just physical blessings that we receive. It's not just what we give, but it's more of a spiritual blessing that we receive, because God wants us to give of ourselves. And he wants that giving to be sacrificial. Why? Because that's what he did. And that's who he is. So what do we have to do? Well, we have to adjust how we see our blessings. We have to adjust when we see that what we give is not important as how we give it, then we have begun to adjust how we see our blessings. Let me say that again. When we begin to see that what we give is not as important as how we give it, we have begun to adjust how we see our blessings. And so, my encouragement to you is to pray. Pray and ask God to help you to see the blessings that he gives in the way that he wants us to see them. Don't look at what you give and say, man, I'm giving $1,000 to this ministry, but I might not see anything back from that. You know what? If that's your thinking as you give, then that's, you need to keep praying about this, because you're not seeing the blessing as God wants you to see it. Because when you look at, when you sense God calling you to give to a ministry, whatever that ministry may be, whether it's this church or whether it's a radio station or whether it's Youth Hope or Pregnancy Resources or whatever the ministry might be, we begin to see the blessings that come back in a totally different light. So let me give you a couple of challenges here. I got two challenge questions and then just something that I want to encourage you to be about. The first challenge is this: are you in the practice of giving? Now, before you say, oh yes, Pastor, I give my 10% to the church every week, first of all, thank you. But let me remind you that the tithe is where we start. And that tithe, I believe, should come into the church. In Malachi chapter 3, and if you have your Bible, turn there, because I want you to see this. This is one of the very last things God says to Israel before he goes silent for 400 years. He says this, starting in verse 6. He says, I, the Lord, do not change, so you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your ancestors, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Verse 8. Will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. That's God talking. But you ask, you people ask, how are we robbing you? And God responds by saying this, in tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, your whole nation, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. I'm going to stop there for a second. God is saying to his people, your tithes need to come in to the storehouse. Your tithes need to come in. And the fullness of your tithes need to come into the storehouse. I believe if we're to parallel this with the New Testament, I think that's the local church. Wherever it is that you are receiving your weekly, daily nourishment spiritually is where your tithe needs to go. So if you're attending First Baptist, that's where your tithe needs to go. If you're attending some of the other churches around town, your tithe needs to go to the church where you are experiencing that growth. Now look at what God says after this. This is one of the only places in Scripture where God invites his people to test him. Look at what it says. Second part of verse 10. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not drop their fruit before it's ripe, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. You want to live in a place like that? Amen. Amen. Absolutely. So what am I asking you as we look at this question? What I am asking is that you are in the practice of listening to the Holy Spirit speaking to you about how, when, and what to give. I know that most of us have sensed God wanting us to give something at one time or another, whether it was a bag of groceries, a monetary gift, some time, a service, or even a word of encouragement. And the more we respond to that voice, the more we are going to want to give. But that first time can be a lot like Moses in the wilderness. You remember that? He's tending his sheep, minding his own business. He just had his 80th birthday. He looks off on the side of the mountain and he sees some smoke, and so he goes to check it out. He walks over there with all the sheep and he walks over there and he sees the burning bush and he's like, what in the world is this? And then he and God have this conversation. You remember this conversation? Do you remember it? Moses is like the thickest head in the world. And God keeps saying, Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to go with you, it's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. And Moses says, I'm not your guy. Then God does this, and this is beautiful. God looks at Moses and he says, what are you holding there, Moses? And Moses says, well, this is my rod, this is my staff, this is what I use to, you know, herd the sheep out here in the middle of nowhere, and, you know. And God says to him, Moses, throw your staff down. Now, a little bit of Jewish history here, shepherd history, I guess. You never want to let go of your staff as a shepherd, because that's the thing that will help you to keep the sheep in line. It protects the sheep from predators. It is the one thing that you hold on to stay alive. And that is the thing that God tells Moses to throw down. What is he doing here? What is God doing here? He's saying, Moses, I want to be the source of your protection. I want to be the source of your guidance. I want to be your source, not your staff. So throw it down. Moses throws it down. It becomes a snake. And if Moses were like me, Moses would be 10 miles the other way from the snake, because I don't like snakes. But then God says, pick it up. And I venture to guess, Moses probably hated snakes, because God says, now pick it up. No, I really don't want to pick up the snake, God. That's, you know. But Moses bends down and picks up the snake. Here is the thing that most of us are not in the practice of giving. We may do it at the end of the year to get a tax break, or we may do it because we attended a fundraiser and it would look bad if we did not fill out the pledge card. But God wants us to give on a regular basis. And if we're not in the practice of giving, we are more than likely going to be asked by God to give up that one thing that we look to as our source, whether it's money, whether it's time, whether it's our family, whatever it is. If we are depending on our bank account to meet our needs, he's going to challenge us to give money away. If we're looking to our time to bring us peace, then he's more than likely going to ask us to give that away. If we're looking to our hobbies to bring us joy, then he's more than likely going to ask us to give that away. You see, if we want to answer the bell when it comes to the principle of giving, then we must listen to the Spirit's guidance when it comes, and then give. Whatever he says, whenever he says, and however he says. So are you in the habit of giving? Second question. When you give, do you give with joy? I saw a really great cartoon. I should have put it on the slideshow, because then you could see it. But one person standing next to another person, he says, if we're supposed to give cheerfully, why do they always say give till it hurts? That's a good question. But if we are still stuck on question one, are we in the practice of giving? Then question two is going to be a real problem. Because if we're not in the practice of giving, we're probably not going to find joy in it. But when there will come a time in our lives, even if we are in the practice of giving, that we can lose the joy of giving. And so how do we become joyful in our giving? Well, the only way I know how to do it is to pray that God would give us supernatural eyes to see the way our gift is blessing the people that we're giving it to. You may give and never get a thank you. Friends, that's okay. We don't need to be thanked for our giving. Now, if we're given two, we ought to say thank you. Don't hear me wrong by saying, oh, I don't have to thank the people who give me anything. That's not what I'm saying. And you seniors, you still have to write the thank you cards, okay, if you haven't already. But the reason we give, and consequently the reason that we find joy in giving, is because we seek to honor Christ by how we give and what we give. Jesus told a parable in Matthew chapter 25. You'll recognize this as I start talking about it. Where he says the Son of Man will bring the nations before him, and he'll separate them like a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And he talks about how the sheep did all these things for him because they did it for the least of these. And he'll say to the goats, you are going away into everlasting punishment because you didn't do the things for me that he says. And the fact of the matter is that when the sheep found joy in giving of themselves, the goats maybe did it, but they didn't do it with the joyful, cheerful attitude that God wanted them to have. This is where we will find joy in our giving. When we realize that what and how we give reflects the love of Jesus, and that what we give we're actually giving to Christ, I believe we'll become downright giddy in our giving. That's hard to say. But let's get giddy in our giving. We should put that on a sticker. Put it on the back of our vehicles or whatever. Our final challenge statement is this. Don't look for your blessings in one place. Do not think that God will return the same kind of blessing that you gave. Most likely He won't. But He does promise blessing. It may not be a blessing that you receive even this side of heaven, but a blessing is coming, and you can take that to the bank. No pun intended. A story was circulating on Facebook a few years ago. It went something like this. A blind boy sat on the steps of a building with a hat by his feet. He held up a sign which said, "I am blind. Please help." There were only a few coins in the hat. There was a man walking by, and he took a few coins from his pocket and dropped them into the hat. Then he took the sign, turned it around, and wrote some words. He put the sign back so that everyone who walked by would see the new words. And soon, the hat began to fill up. The more people were giving money, a lot more people were giving to the blind boy. That afternoon, the man who had changed the sign came to see how things were, and the boy recognized his footsteps and asked, "Were you the one who changed my sign this morning? What did you write?" The man said, "I only wrote the truth. I said what you said, but in a different way. I wrote, 'Today is a beautiful day, but I cannot see it.'" Both signs told people that the boy was blind. But the first sign simply said that the boy was blind. The second sign told people that they were lucky that they were not. Should we be surprised that the second sign was more effective? Brothers and sisters, we need to shift our focus from ourselves to others. When our focus shifts to giving of ourselves or giving from ourselves, we're not only more inclined to see our blessings, but we become more inclined to bless other people. And that, my friends, is the hilarious, joyful truth of giving. Let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you for this great day that we remember the birth of our nation. I pray that we would not only remember the blessings of our freedom, but help us to remember that the blessing that we have, the opportunities to pass on to those around us. Help us to see others' needs as more important than our own. Help us to reach out and to give in ways that we can only imagine. Help us to bless others with the same blessings that we have been given. You, O God, are the King of the universe, and we thank you for all that you have done for us. Help us to be cheerful, hilarious, and regular givers to you, and help us to see the blessings for what they are, more opportunities for us to bless others. I pray all of this in Jesus' blessed name. Amen.